mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fireball, hold up!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the bunny gets it.
Dave's not here!
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Alrighty, here we are at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so please do us a favor. Come and do the donate click, the donate click, the donate click. That's right. I do mine every first of the month. I'm very proud I can do a little bit of something. I really wish I could have more, but today was supposed to be a day that I had a guest. That just went bye-bye. So that happened, yeah. But that's all right. I do what I can do that's best for me to do because it's what I do. So, I am going to put this video on. It's from London, so we'll see what happens, but it's just something that can give us a little bit of hope. Hope. We need hope. We need to believe to know that this is all going to change and that we'll put our children back to the way they're supposed to be. Not this wimpy BS and all that.
So I'm a senior UK lawyer. So about 26 years practicing experience. I'm a litigator, but I am also a retired army officer. And I also, the other bit that's relevant is I used to work at as a management consultant for 2 years. So when all this kicked off, I was drawing on each of those experiences to inform myself and seeing the red flags that come up all over the place. So I started working about a year ago with a team of lawyers. We gradually found each other and formed a team and then reached out to the experts who were giving their evidence, taking down their expert evidence, analysing what was happening in terms of the legal position, reaching out to other teams abroad and then likewise. And then, as you know, I ended up going public and telling people what the legal analysis was, which was that it was including mandating, you know, medical apartheid. It's all against the law. So the burden of proof is actually on state to prove to us, the people, that they have the lawful, legal, moral and ethical right to derogate from that core obligation to every single one of us.
And what about the lockdowns as well? Will you be challenging those in addition?
Yeah, absolutely, because all of those measures are causing harm. And we are a common law jurisdiction, and our first duty to each other is to do no harm. If someone's causing harm to someone else, unless it's legal, lawful, moral and ethical, and people have consented to be harmed, it's all of those things. It's not legal, it's not lawful, it's not moral and it's not ethical, and people do not typically consent to be harmed. So it's everybody's citizen's constitutional duty to prevent somebody else within our democratic society from harming someone else. And you have to take action. You can't omit to act because, under our jurisdiction, omitting to prevent harm is as guilty as causing harm yourself. You don't get to stand by and watch your fellow brother or sister suffer. So, yes, all of those measures that are causing harm have to be challenged, and they have to be justified with evidence that they are proportionate, they're necessary in a democratic society, that they have the right to derogate from their core obligations, and they don't have any of those rights. So,
I wanted to ask, obviously, we have fundamental natural rights.
Sorry, guys, I hope you don't mind. I've been so thirsty. I've been standing on Parliament Square all afternoon. Someone's just given me half a cider.
That's okay. I wanted to ask, because obviously we have fundamental natural rights as a common law jurisdiction. We have the Magna Carta, we have the Bill of Rights, and before that, you have the general sort of common law as it was understood by the people, which is, no injury, loss or harm. Do you think that what Parliament's doing now is essentially being a sort of divine right of Parliament rather than the previous divine right of
kings? Yeah, kings, absolutely I do. In fact, I'm really glad you point that out, because that was my analysis as well. We've transferred the divine right of kings onto the divine right of Parliament, it seems, according to Parliament. And our constitution doesn't work like that. We have the checks and balances in place. And you talk about the common law being the highest law. It's not. It's God's law. Right? We are a Christian nation and have been on record for at least 2,000 years, basically since Christ was born. And that's official according to the Edict of Thessalonica, which is 385 AD, which was issued by the Roman emperors at the time, and we were part of the Roman Empire. And it was decreed that we, as part of the Roman Empire, our official state religion was Christianity. And that's remained the case ever since. So under our constitutional oath, the monarch's oath, it says that the Queen, to the utmost of her utmost power, will uphold God's laws in accordance with the Old and New Testaments and the Gospels, as well as our common law. Because common law is just man-made law. It sits under God's law in this constconstitution.
Well, you might say that common law is based upon natural law, which comes from nature.
Yeah.
And yeah. therefore, some people, you know, I wouldn't say myself, but some people say, well, natural law comes from nature, which comes from God. Other people say natural law comes from nature, and nature is science. So there are different ways to sort of arrive at natural law.
Yeah.
Surely natural law is supreme. What do you think of the way courts have been operating now, where, you know, when I went to my case, I said, well, now there's this lockdown, this is the only theatre open in town.
What do I think of the courts? A whole variety of things, because, you know, like any profession, there are some people within the profession who are absolutely upholding the rule of law and administering justice and complying with their duty, and then there are others who aren't. And so we've got a mixed picture, in the same with we have with the doctors. And so, you know, what our job is to try and wake up the other lawyers who seem to be believing the narrative, call them out, and standing by and watching these things happen. So I, for example, have been appointing my lawyer friends to the judgment of the judges and the lawyers in the Nuremberg trials, because judges and lawyers were brought to account in the same way that media professionals were, bankers were. It wasn't just the soldiers who were held accountable. Anybody in society who had a position in which they could have exercised their power and their duty to stop what happened, what was happening, was held accountable. Or rather, they were accused. Some of them were held accountable, but some of them were found not guilty. But, you know, the judges put forward an argument that they didn't know what was going on. That was their defense. They said, well, the reason we didn't say anything or do anything is we didn't know what was going on. And the tribunal said, you had the transistor radio and the word on the street. Well, we now have the internet and the transistor radio and the word on the street. So for anybody to raise the defense that they didn't know what was happening is not going to wash in accordance with the judgment, international case law, of the international military tribunal. Because they've already heard all of those excuses. So when then the judges said, oh, well, we did know what was going on, but we decided that we ought to stay in positions of power because otherwise worse people would come in. To which the tribunal said, but according to the public, you stayed in your position and you said nothing. So you were complicit. And that's what I would say at the moment, that anybody in any profession who knows what's going on and is staying silent, unfortunately, the military tribunals, international case law, goes against them. So they need to read those, look at what they're doing and omitting to do, and work out which side of the law they want to stand on. Because that legal position has already been analysed in the past by our ancestors, bless their hearts. And the law is already there. So anybody who's not standing up, who's not, you know, actively stopping harm from happening to all of us, is not complying with the law.
So are we headed for a second Nuremberg trial?
Yeah, basically. Across the world. I mean, legal teams, what's extraordinary about working with lawyers across the world is that they're all saying the same thing. And I've said to people, well, either we're all stupid, but in which case, how have you been practicing all those years if you were really that stupid? Or we're mad, but again, same argument. These are lawyers practicing for 20, 30 years. And it doesn't matter which jurisdiction lawyer I've spoken to, they're all saying the same thing, the same legal analysis.
And why do you think more lawyers haven't spoken out?
You'd have to ask them that. I know why some of them haven't. There are actually more lawyers working on this than people realise. And they are in difficult positions because, you know, for a variety of reasons, and I don't want to speak on their behalf. But there are some really good lawyers who the public won't know are doing a really good job, but I would be able to vouch for them because they've been on it the whole time, but behind the scenes.
Do you think that there's a sort of lack of real British and historical education in this country, and that there's... And that leads to this sort of lack of an understanding of our constitution?
Absolutely, yeah. When does it get taught in school? Our basic constitutional rights are, and duties. And it's really important to stress the duty. You know, it's not just about taking and enjoying the freedom of our rights. You know, rights are hard won.
Two sides of the same.
Yeah. You know, these are our ancestors fought and died for these time and time and time. And that's one of the reasons I'm landing, because my own ancestors, you know, on both sides of my family, they served in both world wars, and they all survived. But, you know, that's what they did, and my great-uncle William Harvey was one of the first into Gallipoli, and there's a website dedicated to him, and you can read his letters from the front line. You know, what did he do all of that for? My Uncle Sam was caught in a German prisoner of war camp, had to escape, and he got all the way back through the France and Spain with the resistance, came back to England, and went over for another pop. You know, so they didn't do all of that so that we could sit here and just say, oh, well, none of that matters, none of our rights matter, you know. I mean, it's just extraordinary. So, yes, I do blame the education system and society generally, because, you know, you cannot uphold your rights if you don't know what your rights are. And I often say to people, well, have you looked at the Bill of Rights, or have you looked at Magna Carta, or have you looked at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, or have you looked at, you know, the international conventions that set out all your rights? And most people say, well, no. And I say, well, how are you going to uphold your rights if you've not looked at what they are? And I understand, of course, that, you know, I'm a lawyer, so it's easy for me to know where to find all these laws. But actually, if you just Google, you know, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, for example, it comes up in Google. And it's in very plain English. It's not legal, complicated document. So, and it's written in that way so that everyone can read it and understand what their fundamental rights are. So I would really, really encourage everyone. You know, the right, people's rights are getting flouted because people don't know what their own rights are. And actually, they've got all the law on their side to stand in their own sovereignty and to demand not to be harmed by all these measures. You know, so I really please everyone start informing yourself, which is one of the reasons I'm going public, because if I can tell people about their rights, you know, in a straightforward way, then hopefully more and more people will be aware of what their rights are.
Well, sure. And is there anything that you'd like to say?
Well, thank you for giving me a platform. Yeah, I'd really like to give everyone hope that, you know, frankly, when you look at the work that lawyers have done over at least 200 years, and I mean, that's a snapshot, but when you look at the work that lawyers have done for 200 years, all the laws are in place to protect each and every one of us from what's happening. We have individual rights of bodily integrity, right? We have an old maxim, and I can't remember the exact Latin phrase, I never studied Latin, but the interpretation is that, you know, over his or her own mind and body, everyone, each person is sovereign. And that was common law way before the Magna Carta or the Bill of Rights, saying you've got the right to your own body,
like,
and nobody can force
kingdom.
yeah absolutely, it was a fundamental tenet. But again, it's God's law, right? You are sovereign, and you get to choose what happens to your body, and you get to choose what happens to your mind, and you get freedom of speech, and all of those laws have been enshrined for millennia. So, you know, the idea that a group of people can come in 2020 and 2021 and say none of the rule of law matters, the Constitution is irrelevant, we get to set aside all these rules for a has never been proven to anywhere in the world. None of the legal teams have agreed that this, they all say there's been no evidence that it actually 99 unless you're over, I think it's 70 with etc, etc. So the idea that we get rid of our entire constitutional laws, we forget about what everyone fought and died for all that time because of this one, is ludicrous. So yeah, have hope, everyone, because the legal framework is there to prove that, you know, you don't have to suffer all this harm. It's a duty to take action. More and more people are taking action. So, you know, that's only a matter of time. And ultimately, we have the precedent. You know, no oppressive regime has ever lasted because we the people stand up.
And where can people find information? And your name as well.
Yeah, it's Anna de Buisseret. On Telegram, there's something called the Informed Consent Campaign, because this is my main mission, is to inform everybody about the fact that they can refuse to consent to these things. You have to be informed, it has to be freely given, you have to be given all the information, you can't be coerced, you can't be threatened, you can't be sanctioned, it all has to be complete free will. So the Informed Consent Campaign is giving lots and lots of people the legal position and the tools in which to stand in their own sovereignty and understand more about consent, because it doesn't just go for medical treatment. You know, we are governed by consent. If we don't consent to the measures that are being employed against us, it is our sovereign right and our democratic right and our legal, lawful, moral and ethical right to say, no, I don't consent. This is harming me, it's harming other people, I don't consent. So the Informed Consent Campaign on Telegram, we're also building a website called the Informed Consent Campaign. It's being under construction at the moment, so it's not up and running. So those are the two main places at the moment. But, you know, we are working on getting a better platform so that people can contact each other and download the information. But we're a bunch of volunteers. Bear with us, please.
Although it is problematic, problem is it's nourished, endorsed. Racism. Racism is not systemic. It's not genetic or endemic. It's really not the problem, although it is problematic. Problem is it's nourished, endorsed, engineered, and encouraged in our society that's fractured, run by maniacs and bastards, dollar signs and bankers, politics and wankers. They want us fighting each other, blaming, hating, and shaming each other. So we're always looking laterally, horizontally, instead of up the ladder accurately. Divide and conquer is the method, is the oldest trick in the book. Distracting us by blaming us. Well, they get off the hook. White cops versus black men, just a clever misdirection. The police state versus everyone, and a war for your perception. Furthermore, let's explore American economics. Debt-based indentured servitude disguised as patriotic. The money monster taunts us and haunts us like a ghost. Drip drop like an IV drip, because without any, you're toast. Maximize the profit, minimize opportunity. Advertise the hell out of it, polarize common unity. Racism is real without a doubt, not pretending like it ain't. It's a scary thing that's taught to us and teaches us to hate. The media embraces it, regurgitates and celebrates it, and politicians use it, accuse it, and abuse it. Over and over and time again, same shit on a different day. Battered, broken, and paranoid, while our freedoms slip away. But hey, I'll love you no matter what, regardless of your race. I'll double down, I'll say it again and reiterate just in case. I love you. I love you. I love you. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. I love you. I love you. I love you. What matters is what is within. Don't hate. Be great. And invert the golden rule. Don't do to others, black, white, brown, green, purple, or polka dot, as you would prefer them not do to you.
All right. Let's hope it stays undone for a moment or two, at least until the first break comes up. But yeah, we just, Yeah, but you know what? It's over being a game. When there's lives being dead and things like that, the game is over. And if we don't start taking back our common sense and critical thinking and playing into their game, then we're lost. And that doesn't make sense to me. I certainly don't like getting lost. I don't mind a few extra adventures here and there, but I certainly don't want to be lost into somebody else's propaganda and programming to where it's hurting people. It's harming not just one person, but the whole system of humanity. And the environment, too. I mean, what the heck sense is in? Yeah, well, I try to teach others that it is right now, and us and them don't care about us. Okay? Do not try to re-vote people into the system that the system is broken. Take the system away and have the people who are really involved in the situations be really involved in the situations. Just simple. Don't pay somebody else to do the job. That is as much as your responsibility, like education and, you know, building roads or things like that. I mean, we can work it all out without having to have a government telling us what we are supposed to and not do. And of course, that's just my opinion and my imagination to a degree, because I've always gone up against those that were doing harm to this planet, to the humans, to the animals.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, just the way it goes. Now there's going to be like three or four. It depends on how much time I have. I haven't counted the time, but there's going to be a bunch of different opinions on different things that's coming up through this next half hour. So be prepared. And if by chance there's not a voice, just remember some days my mute has an issue with my cursor, so it doesn't want to listen to me. So, but we're going to try. Here we go. Yeah, some days are perfect and some days are just not.
Dr. Osqui, I've got a couple questions for you. First of all, an asymptomatic spread. I think I just heard that we have a 180-degree turn on that, where somebody, announced that they really don't believe that asymptomatic spread is that big a deal. And we were earlier told that that is one of the biggest problems with COVID is people that don't even know they have the illnesses are walking around there spreading it. Can you discuss what you believe is the current science on that?
Well, I think the current science, and there's a large population-based study out of China that suggests that asymptomatic spread is extremely uncommon. I think one of the reasons why literature has not clearly supported masking, and I'll review that in my final comments, as a significant preventative, is that I think that early on we got it wrong as to what is the predominant mechanism of spread. I believe what the Oxford University white paper by Thomas Jefferson believes, in which I provided to Ms. Kilday, the clerk of this committee, that I think that oral fecal transmission, much like norovirus and polio, is the predominant mechanism of spread. And that's one of the reasons why masking doesn't work and why asymptomatic spread isn't predominant. So I think that makes much more sense. The white paper is provided to Ms. Kilday. I provide it to your aid, and I hope it'll be disseminated among members of the committee. But I think the science behind that paper, Tom Jefferson and the rest of the Oxford group for the Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, is actually pretty compelling. We've had that since March. I think the ramifications of that are that aggressive use of chlorine-based cleaners and other things would really be very helpful in transmission and really need to be properly, effectively promulgated.
Now, this is Albert Biederman, and Albert Biederman is a psychologist. And after the Korean War, he was asked to look at victims, or actually troops coming back that had been, you know, turned. In other words, they thought the Chinese had turned them into enemies of our state. And they said, how did the Chinese do that? Do they have voodoo or some kind of pill or something they're giving them? He said, no, it's just basic psychological techniques of getting people to submit to your will and do your bidding. Okay? And what were those techniques? He made a chart of coercion, and what they assist first is isolation. Okay? I'm not going to go through the details, but you can read them. Isolation. They monopolization of perception. Think of the 24-hour news cycle and censorship. And when you're stuck at home, that's all you got to look at. Degradation. We now call people that decide the masks are not useful and they want to go to the beach in Florida, which is the best place to be, COVIDiots. And people like Eminem, that I don't care at all about, is going to degrade people on his rap tracks, you know, spitting on people that don't wear masks, that kind of thing. Induced debility, though, is a big deal. And I bet you we don't know how many people have died from this. My friend who was a Vietnam vet who didn't spend the time on the desk, he was a year out in combat, and he survived that. But he almost died of not COVID, but of being locked up. And the reason is because he's elderly, and people didn't bring him food, and he didn't go out and socialize and go have lunch with his ex-wife and things. And so he got dehydrated and ended up in the hospital and the nursing home, and he barely made it out of there. Then there's in the chart of coercion, you need to threaten people, and we're certainly having that. I'm being threatened, I think, with bankruptcy for my business because it's an elective kind of business in medicine. And you have to, if you're the torturer, you're supposed to demonstrate omnipotence. Well, I think shutting down the whole world demonstrates their omnipotence. And then enforcing trivial demands. Have you seen these poker tables down here? Dear God, it's just disgusting. And here's what I really worry about, because one of the things that's most damaging to people's psyche and makes them want to get out of this no matter what it takes is you give them a little indulgence and then you take it away. And I'm afraid that's what's coming in the fall. They're going to try and lock us down again, and I think we need to resist it.
Amazing week, actually. And we were reporting on a lot of this last week to see the WHO come forward. I think we actually have a video on this guy from the WHO. Let's take a look at this.
We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
I mean, yeah. He's not exactly being subtle about it, right? I mean, that was a pretty definitive statement from the WHO. What kind of response? I mean, it's I'm mind blown right now when you listen to that.
Well, I think people really go back and listen to that again, everybody, because this is not a guy they pulled off the street. This isn't some first year intern. This guy is the WHO's special envoy to COVID-19. And before that, Dr. Nabarro, he served on the a coordinator for the UN Task Force on Global Food Security for 6 years. So when he's talking about malnutrition, food issues, this guy knows what he's talking about. In 2016, he was in line to become the director general of the WHO, not someone who, you know, is going to mint some words. He's presided over.
Instead of hiring some mob boss from Ethiopia, we could have actually had him leading the WHO, is that what I'm understanding? God forbid we get a doctor there that knows what he's talking about. Let's definitely have, you know, King of Gang Warfare from Ethiopia come and run the WHO. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fantastic that he's out there making these statements.
We're going right into a clip about you will own nothing and you'll like it. Really? Well, if I don't own it, who's going to own my house? Let's hear what he has to say.
The Great Reset is an idea put forward by the World Economic Forum to fundamentally restructure the global economy in the wake of COVID-19. But what are some of the dangers inherent in this ideology? Joining me to discuss is Douglas Kruger, who's a speaker and author focusing on political correctness. Douglas, could you tell our viewers, what is this idea of the Great Reset exactly, and what are some of the risks attached to it?
Like many of the politically correct ideas that we hear bandied about in the media, this entire project is couched in kindness. It is presented as something that is being done or being proposed for our good and for the greater good. And that always sets my alarms and sensors going, because that tends to lead to very problematic ideology. In a very quick nutshell, the proposal out of Davos is essentially this: a group of exceptionally powerful individuals, predominantly in the banking, finance, and business sector, in alliance with government leadership, are proposing that as a result of these COVID lockdowns that have done a great deal of damage to economies globally, they perceive that they now have an opportunity to rebuild economies, but to do so in what they believe is a more enlightened fashion. And there are, generally speaking, there are problems with the idea of groups of people in power deciding the history of humanity. In the best case scenario, we are simply supposed to be free to determine our own futures, our own progress, what we want out of life. Now, in this particular case, what they're proposing is a sort of collectivist idea that takes personal ownership out of the equation. The little phrase, and it sounds so innocent, is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Now, if you go back just several hundred years, the founding father and first president of the United States, which was essentially a project founded on the idea of human liberty and freedom, pretty much for the first time in modern history, George Washington said, there is no such thing as personal human rights without property ownership. And he said that for several very interesting and important reasons. But the principle is sound. If you are dependent on a greater power for everything, then you are not free. You place yourself as an individual in quite a precarious situation. It was, in fact, the formula for living, the sort of political reality for most of human history. If you look back at a simple setup like the serfs of Europe, this is a group of people who owned nothing and simply contributed to the overlord who determined what they could and could not have. And they had zero rights. It is the property that you own that actually ensures your rights to a great degree. So while this may sound like a very enlightened idea, sort of a communal collectivist utopia, there are many problems with this once you start thinking about how it might actually be implemented. And that's what concerns me.
So Douglas, is there a risk here that we could see an encroachment of state power into the lives of ordinary individuals and essentially a kind of creeping tyranny that takes hold?
Well, economist and historian Dr. Thomas Sowell makes a very interesting point about how humans evaluate political systems. And he says we make the terrific mistake of evaluating them based on their kindly sounding intentions before the fact, rather than on their outcomes after the fact. And he proposes the idea that our world, our politics would look very different if we had to judge each thing that politicians and governments try based on the outcomes instead of the intentions. At the intention stage, it is remarkably easy for smooth politicians to stand up and say kindly sounding things. Now, the sorts of things that we're hearing from Davos and from the likes of the proponents of the Great Reset all talk about collectivist and communal living and how nobody will own anything. But now consider for just a second, that is already a fallacy. Someone somewhere has to own. And in fact, what happens is if you take ownership out of the hands of a broad-based populace and of many separate entrepreneurs and families and individuals, and you concentrate it into the hands of, say, a few multinational corporations working together with government, well, firstly, that system is by definition fascistic. This idea of an all-powerful government and the businesses that work in conjunction with them. It leads very quickly to cronyism, to the types of corruption that we see, particularly in South Africa, where we are so keen on talking about business and government collaborating. And doesn't that just sound like such a good thing, business and government collaborating? What happens there is you have the people who own the rules, enforce right and wrong, and have a financial incentive to be corrupt, working with the people who have the money and have an incentive to corrupt them. It's a dreadful formula just to begin with. However, what concerns me is perhaps on a bigger scale than that. When we talk about collective ownership, we are often told that the great thing about it is that everybody will own. The reality of the thing is that nobody but those in power own. And that impulse to take away private property ownership and to concentrate it into the hands of a representative government is purely Marxist. I mean, it is the heart and soul of the Marxist idea, which stripped down to its basics is nobody owns property, it is collectively owned. And as I say, of course, the fallacy there is that it is not actually collectively owned. It is owned by those in power. Now, what can go wrong with that? Well, if we look at modern day China, we get a very good example of this one. Modern day China, of course, a bit of a mixed economy. They have prospered to the degree that they've started permitting free trade. However, they are still very much a Marxist society, and they work according to social credit scores. And social credit scores imposed by law represent a very chilling idea. Now imagine this, for example. You as a family do not own your home. You do not own what is around you. You do not own your business. The government has absolute control because they are the representative of collective ownership. Now imagine a scenario in which you do something that the government does not approve of. You read a book that it doesn't want you to read. You write an essay or an article that it doesn't like. You create a YouTube video commenting on something in a negative way. Now, those are all things that productive human beings do to critique and build and grow their society. But you can't do it there. And if you do something that the government disapproves of, using these social credit scores, they can ghost you. They can effectively lock you out of your world. And it works because you don't own anything. It is that ownership, that broad-based private ownership, that keeps people free from government tyranny. Maggie Thatcher from the UK very famously embarked on a project to expand human liberty in her nation by trying to ensure as much broad-based private and individual ownership of property as possible. In that, she was in agreement with George Washington, who said that it is property rights that prop up human freedom. You can go into great depth and philosophy on this one. You can even take property rights down to the level of your thoughts. Are you free to own them? Are you free to express them? Or is the realm of thinking controlled by a collective? Now, of course, all that sounds, it sounds like terrible fear mongering. But of course, the question for anyone who looks back over history is to ask, could it happen here? Could it happen again? And I think if you do know your history, the answer is it happens surprisingly easily and it happens surprisingly often. When communities play with this idea of collectivist ownership, I would argue that it happens 100% of the time, and that when we're talking about collective ownership and the elevating of the group over the sanctity of the individual, we are dealing with a formula that has been deeply damaging to the human species.
So Douglas, what about the threats to the property that we already own? Is there a risk there that we might lose our ownership over our existing property?
David, that's an excellent question. And it's one that I think people are not considering. Now, think again of those words. You will own nothing and you will be happy. It doesn't allow for you will continue to own what your family has bequeathed down the generations. The simple statement, if we are to take them at their word, is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Now, that poses some fascinating problems in terms of what communities already own. We largely around the world, we own our homes. We bequeath heirlooms, family heirlooms to the next generation. You might own a wedding ring. You might own things that you want to give on to your children. And I would argue that that is one of the very best things that we do. Each generation tries to uplift the next generation. This philosophy seems to be saying, instead of doing that, we reset each generation at zero and leave you dependent on a government welfare system. Now, from the most basic human perspective, that strikes me as deeply unhealthy. If the best thing we do is to raise up our children and help them to go further than us, then starting at zero with government dependency every generation, it strikes me as a bit of a chilling idea. If you look at basic stats, human stats, around groups of people living on welfare, you will find that you have disproportionate rates of marital breakup, of family breakup, of alcohol and drug abuse, and of interpersonal violence. The stats are way different to people who are self-sufficient, self-sustaining, employed, or running their own businesses. So one of the things that I think people are not considering here is under a paradigm in which nobody owns anything, we all become a group of people living under the welfare state. And it seems to me that that is a very good way to do damage to the health and to the psyche of human beings. We don't seem to prosper under such conditions. I concede very readily that we have to help the poor and the struggling among us. I mean, that is a Christian, a Judeo-Christian principle. It has been built into Western classical thinking for a very long time. But a welfare state in which you don't do anything, but you live dependent on the government, seems to cause human beings to rot. I don't think it's a healthy scenario. We're proposing it on a global scale.
Well, thanks very much, Douglas. I think it's important that we interrogate the dominant narratives that are emerging from global institutions like the World Economic Forum, and to ask ourselves, who are these narratives serving exactly?
Okay, do you agree or disagree? I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-874-4888. Remember, one of the things that I believe COVID has done, intentionally or as an effect from COVID, is it's given the power of the state, the local governments, immense control over our lives. Those who comply are given certain freedoms. But look at what is happening for those who choose, for whatever legitimate reason they may have, to say no.
The doctors at Johns Hopkins, and the doctors anywhere, don't really know much about certain subjects, like vaccines, for example. They don't study vaccines. They don't study the literature on vaccines. They don't read about the adjuvants added to them. They don't read about copious evidence finding connections between certain vaccines and, you know, severe neurological disorders. I mean, it's not in their interest to study that because they're close to big pharma. And as you note, you know, they have their careers to think about. They don't want to become pariahs. They don't want to become conspiracy theorists, you know. They don't want to violate the hospital's protocols. So they go along, you know. So
they don't want to lose their funding if they've got grants or whatever. Yeah, and I think that's a big one.
That's a big one. And that relates directly to the so-called left press, you know, the lockdown left, as some have called them, you know, like Amy Goodman, for example.
All righty then. What will we do? What will we consider worth having to exist with, by, because of, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, honestly, what harm would we do to stand up for ourselves? I don't get that we should not but stand up for our rights, our liberties, and our future. I mean, honestly, oh gosh. And it's really sad that for all the battles that some of us have done, it didn't seem to matter then. But now that this biggest one is happening now, it's got to matter now. And that most of us are going to make the waves to have the changes occur. Tomorrow I have hopefully two guests. I mean, we'll see. They haven't Skyped me yet to make sure we were connected, so we'll see what happens. But otherwise, that are basically the mamas who are going in front of the councils is called freedom over fear, and it's actually freedom with a line under it and fear under it, so it's the word over is not there. But the idea is, yep, we just don't always know how strong we are till we try to make changes. And we really need to. We can't keep going on like this. We can't. People listening, actually, to these governors and all that, like, come on. That's why they're continually playing us this way, because we've given them an inch and they've taken a yard, and it's up to us to make those changes by not fulfilling their desires anymore. I mean, what would happen if we stopped paying their paychecks, huh? Just a simple question. Oh, pardon me. What would really happen If we quit paying the taxes, so then they can't get paid. Would it change their minds? Or they're getting paid by the federal government to do the dirty deeds that the basically they want us to have to follow. I mean, otherwise, they are supposed to be working for us. They are not supposed to be working for the government. And those are to us. We're not the traitors. They're the traitors.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got here.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome, one and all, to freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener-supported, so please do us that favor. Hook us up, help us stay on air, and keeping this information coming out to you. Freedom is never for free. COVID-1984.
We've been covering how tyrannical
and despotic the Australian government has become, but this takes it to the next level. We have to cover this in its own. We've talked already about how they're having home quarantine and hotel quarantine, and they're building these quarantine camps. New details are emerging of a new app that they're getting people to download. In fact, forcing people to download as part of the home quarantining. This app uses geolocation and facial recognition, and you're forced to take a selfie of yourself, thus engaging the app so they know where you are. You have to take a selfie of yourself if they request it within 15 minutes. So they will randomly request that you take a selfie and reveal your location, which better be your home, or else you'll be in big trouble. This is absolutely insane. We've covered before how they'll basically stalk you when you're under home arrest. Somebody went out for a drive to get some fresh air, and they hounded him and put him on the news, put him in their press briefing to make an example of him to others. Let's look at this article from ABC Australia. How will South Australia's home quarantine trial work? The article reads, those in home-based quarantine will need to download an app developed by the government, so government spyware, to prove that they are staying home and following the despotic law. They will have to prove they have a place to isolate during the, and they must also be fully vaccinated. So they're adding that in. You have to take part in the experiment. Those who are approved will have downloaded the South Australian government home quarantine app, which uses geolocation and facial recognition software to track those in despotic quarantine. The app will contact people, ABC reports, at random, asking them to provide proof of their location within 15 minutes. And get this, the guy who's announcing this, Stephen Marshall, says South Australians should be proud. So not only are they unleashing some of the craziest tyranny I've ever heard, they're telling Australians they should be proud that their out-of-control government is doing this to them. This is sociopathic. This is psychopath shit. We won't tell them how often or when. On a random basis, they will have to reply within 15 minutes. What if you're asleep? What if you care about freedom? What if you're security and privacy conscious and don't want to put a backdoor-laden government hastily developed app on your phone whose stated objective is to track, trace, and database you and get you in trouble for leaving your house? Now, if I'm reading this right, people aren't even sick oftentimes for these home quarantines. And it also sounds like if you're not vaccinated, then they have some concentration camps for you to go visit. Probably also if you don't comply with this, you'll be dragged off to the concentration camps. Shame on the Australian government. Shame on anybody who complies with this. I'm so sick of this bullshit. So you have to take a selfie within 15 minutes if the government asks you to. If the government pings your phone, and it'll probably be on an automatic random timer, You get an alert on your phone. Please take a selfie of yourself for the government agents. Then it'll do facial recognition on that. And it'll also automatically steal your location data. And you'll get in trouble if you're not in the proper location. But Big Brother loves you. So I just wanted to do a standalone video on this so everybody could see how crazy it's getting in Australia. Not only concentration camps, also high-tech government surveillance apps that you're forced to download that are incredibly invasive, helping themselves to photos of you, helping itself to your location, and force you to stay under home quarantine, ready to rat you out to the police if you've done anything wrong, if you've committed thought crimes.
What is this for, man? Honestly, what is this for? You pulled me over, I asked you to give me my fine because apparently I was doing something illegal, all right? And then you're taking me to hospital now? Come on, man. I'm not mental. I do have a choice, man. I've done nothing wrong. Man, this is becoming a police state. Look at Australia. This is what's happening. I'm getting sent to hospital for something that... What are you going to do to me in the hospital? You want to vaccinate me?
You're just going to speak to a doctor, man.
I don't want to speak to a doctor. I'm telling you, I just want my fine. Man, all right, I'm sorry for saying that.
I accept your apology, but unfortunately, it's been made now. We have to go to the hospital.
I'm not going to hospital, bro. I need to go to the hospital. I'm not going to hospital, bro.
You don't have a choice. This is making things a lot easier.
What do you mean make it easier, man? You guys are making it hard. I'm telling you, I want to go home. This is a police state now, bro. You guys are taking my freedom away from me.
We don't want to.
Well, that's what you're doing. This guy said you're not a free man.
Yeah, but you're not free to leave. That's the only thing.
But he said I'm not a... So what do...
Free to leave.
Come on, man. Bro, just please let me go, bro. What do you want? You want money? I got my wallet. I give you money. Just let me go.
We just want you to go and speak to a doctor. That's...
I don't
want
to speak to a doctor, bro.
You need to speak to a doctor.
I don't need to.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, he's not going to help me.
That's not the point.
Oh, my God, bro. What is this light coming to, man? I'm not going hospital, boys. Boys, I'm not going hospital, boys. I'm telling you, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go hospital. I'm telling you, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go hospital.
We don't force you, man.
Well, technically you are, man.
I know, but we don't want to. That's the thing. That's a lot easier.
Oh, bro, here we go. Oh, you're bringing back up.
You're getting back up? Are you kidding me, man? Oh, here we fucking go, man. There's one of me, bro. He's serious.
We'll go and speak to the doctor, and that's the end of the story.
I'm not gonna. No, man.
What you said it was before, you're gonna be aggressive.
No. Oh my god. Here we go, bro. Let's see these cunts now, bro.
Let's go.
Man, I ain't going, man. Oh, he bought another one? He bought four cops? Oh, here we go, bro. Oh. What's this now?
So,
can
you find out? Are you
going to
comply? Are you just
going to
go? Or are you gonna...
No, I don't want to go to the hospital.
Because I don't
want to
put handcuffs on you.
I don't want to go to hospital, bro.
You're not a criminal. I don't
want to
put handcuffs on you.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Let me go if I'm not a criminal.
It's time to go, mate. We're
ready
long enough.
All right? No, I'm not
going to
go. I don't want to go.
You don't have a choice.
I don't want to go to hospital, man. The hospital. What? Don't touch me, man. What are you doing, bro? Don't fucking touch me, man. What the fuck are you doing, bro? Hey, bro! Hey! Are you fucking serious? What the fuck? Oh,
sorry. I'm allowed to record. Huh? I'm allowed to record.
You're not
allowed
to record.
Why not?
That's
highly
inappropriate to do.
How is that inappropriate?
Children dropping dead at the vaccination facility. And now they bring out the new curtain. They're thinking of everything. As soon as people drop dead, they bring the curtain. They stand in your way so that you can't record. But everybody should be concerned, especially when you start seeing footage like this. And reports are that many children are dropping dead at these vaccination centers. And it's only a matter of time before people realize that this is, in fact, the Kool-Aid, that this is, in fact, a Jonestown cult that's trying to genocide everyone on the planet. And so people need to wake up, they need to get organized and prepare for what happens next, because it's going to get ugly. People are awake. The government knows that people are awake, so now they have to roll out false flags, Gladio B events. They're going to bring back the war on terror. That's why we've got this new situation in Afghanistan. They're going to be labeling anyone that resists the lockdowns, the measures, as terrorists. They're organized and prepare for what happens next. Because it's going to get ugly. People are awake. The government knows that people are awake, so now they have to roll out false flags, Gladio B events.
All right. The reason why I put it out is because now, by the Department of Homeland Security, you are a potential terror threat. One, if you're in opposition to COVID measures. Two, claims of election fraud, believe that Trump can be reinstated. Three, the 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays that you just might want to partake in, as you are a free human being, but now you're going to be a terrorist if you decide to enjoy any religious holiday. Personally, I don't do any of that, but I'm not going to say you're not allowed. And the fraud, hell, they came out and said that they did. It was the best fraud they ever made, that they got Trump out of there. And opposition to COVID measures, because you are not allowed to state my body, my choice. Come on, people, you better start waking up and up, man. Better start waking up.
They're going to bring back the war on terror. That's why we've got this new situation in Afghanistan. They're going to be labeling anyone that resists the lockdowns, the COVID measures, as terrorists. And therefore, they can take you away to their quarantine facilities or their prison camps, if you will. And undoubtedly, political prisoners will be given the EMF treatment, electrocution, power, and energy weapons, and the like. Make it look like natural causes.
What are you talking about? What is human 2.0? The minute you take this jab, you are entering into the transhumanism project. Understand that. You don't have rights as a human anymore. Check the legality status of this thing out. Why are they making you sign a 2-page waiver? You can't, you got no compensation. Why? Time to get emotional, guys. We should be getting more than emotional. We need to lynch these bastards, what they are doing. The people that have been, they have been doing, yeah, 1984 to 1986, they did the test run on how to kill people with biochemical warfare. There was a prophet, his name is Walter Son. He worked with a CIA agent called Larry Ford from America under what's called Operation Coast. They were making biochemical weapons to kill people of color, yeah, and they perfected it in 1986. So this is what's in these vaccines.
Guys, I think
President Ramaphosa is an engine in Africa.
He's just a puppet. He's only doing his job.
Or to manipulate other presidents.
No, no, they all manipulated. For them to come into that position, they are not elected. They are selected. They take certain oaths and pledges that they go do, certain rituals that they do, so that they are in this cult forever. Their allegiance, President Ramaphosa's allegiance, is not to the South African people. His allegiance is to the cult. You need to understand that. All the presidents of the world, they belong to this cult. Whatever nation they got, you play me and you playing against this race thing, it's all bullshit. People need to be aware of that. These are the enemies, the globalists. We need to get them. This is what they are doing. They're starting to poison your kids. what you're going to do. This thing is coming. We can't think about it. It's coming in the next 2-3 weeks. What are people going to do? Who is waking up? Who is waking up? People are dying. People are dying, but they're not coming to report it. Because why? They're too afraid to report this thing. Or they don't know where to report it. The doctors are not taking it. Read the International Barcode of Life. Right? They tell you what doctors must do. They tell you about euthanasia. They tell you about things, what they're going to do. Read the lockstep document. Read the NASA document. Read the Iron Mountain document. What are they talking? Deploy human 2.0 by 2020.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure inoculation. Take a look and you'll see to your own depopulation. We'll begin with a syringe, testing out my very own creation. What we'll see will defy scientific explanation. If you want a scientific paradise, simply wear a mask and view it. Anything we say, you'll do it. Want to rule the world?
There's nothing to it.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of the people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? You will be strong and stand with me. The barricade is there, the world you long to see.
Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing? Sing the song.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Richard Dolan Show, where every week we...
Pero como abras a fondo una antena de esas y la enfoques en un sitio concreto, con las señales que tienes que dar, que además no tienen que ser ni siquiera demasiado potentes, basta con que las pulses, ya te está enfermando a todo el mundo. O sea, recordad que cuando pulsas una señal de esas, el vaivén de electrones hace que se enferme la mitocondria. Si se enferma la mitocondria, se enferma la célula, porque no tiene energía con la que...
¿Cómo salta este código por Bluetooth? O sea, a través de la vacuna.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. And yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there.
And that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the New World Order.
Hey, Jeepster, you can't hear me, can you? Yeah, folks, so
this is the new world order, and they have no problem telling you that. Interesting, isn't it? The new world order, folks, and they're going out and they're force vaccinating Aboriginal communities now as well. So we hear.
Hey, Jingala, Jingiwala, good afternoon, you mob. Today, I'm on Wallabal country, one of the tribes of the Bundjalung Nation. These are my people. These are my families. And I've got word yesterday, we got word that the army is coming in to vaccinate our mob in Jabalum, one of our Aboriginal communities, and they're moving along to, yeah, to the rest of the communities, to our Aboriginal communities. Look, my people haven't been fully educated about the vaccine. They lack education in regards to the vaccine. Not only that, our people have been fed lies about the vaccine, not knowing what's in the vaccine. We need your help out there because they're coming. And this is intimidation. This is by force. This is not mandatory. I do not give consent. I hope my people don't give them consent. Stand your ground, because anything other is a criminal act.
And that's not a good thing, folks, because a lot of the Indigenous communities around here don't know what's going on. There's not a lot of communication in with a lot of these people. And they're set to cop the brunt of this. You know, and it's disgusting that the military was even doing this. I mean, this is treason. All the soldiers who are supporting this, it's treason, and you should not be supporting it. I don't know what's unclear about that. What else are they doing? They're banning children from skate parks as well, folks.
And watched stunned, and police stood guard. Lockdown rules were reinforced with a concrete barrier. And although skate parks are still closed...
What a stupid decision. Kids can't go to school and now they're being blocked from riding their bikes. Let kids get out. Let them have some fresh air. Someone stop this stupid decision.
May spread the virus if you're riding your push bike in a skate park. It's just unbelievable what they're doing, folks. The dictatorship that they're rolling out here. It's just next level. There was a terrible incident in western suburbs in Sydney the other day where the police induced a heart attack in a guy because he wasn't wearing a mask.
So yesterday, on the 9th of September, at approximately a quarter to five, a young man and his pregnant wife were in Basil Plaza here in southwest Sydney. The young man wasn't wearing a mask, so he got absolutely ragdolled, body slammed, treated like an animal by the Bankstown police officers that were there. They treated him like a criminal, despite the begging and pleading of his wife and those that were with them, telling the police officers that he is ill, he is sick, he's epileptic, he's got a heart condition. Whilst handcuffed, this young man had a seizure or a medical episode where he became unconscious and him in handcuffs, refused to call the ambulance. It was something that you would expect to see in the worst
unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
We'll be right back.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
We were witnessing it here in Sydney.
I'm not going to call everybody down on us. We're asking a full fucking English language.
Hold on, brother, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Don't touch them.
You don't have a chance to. You see this? Okay.
He's sick, man. He's sick.
And there's been a huge outcry about this. The Lebanese community in the western suburbs are outraged, absolutely outraged. They're ready to take the government and the police on. And it's no surprise. And it's no surprise that it would come to this. You know, I've been waiting for a watershed moment, and that could even be it. You never know how far they'll push it. The people have had enough. The people in this country have had enough. And a lot of cops are speaking out now as well, which is good to see. There's legal action being taken in Queensland. The police, I think it's the police union or someone in the police force anyway, is holding the Queensland government to task over mandatory vaccinations for police. And this is happening in New South Wales as well. There's also a legal challenge in Victoria, I think, which has deemed the entire lockdown to be illegal and unlawful. So there's all sorts of stuff happening. There was a case the other day of AFL lawyers against Brad Hazzard. Just the there's just been like a couple of little hearings, and the main hearing, I think, is happening on the 30th of September. But there's been a couple of pre-hearings of this, and the one that we attended the other day that you could see online on YouTube, you could watch it live on YouTube, there were 58,000 people watching at one stage when I was there. 58,000 people watching this case live, folks. So there's a lot of interest in what's going on here. And like, you know, like I said, there's a lot of pushback. The police taking the government to task is a really good thing. And the police need to do this. The police need to realise what's happening here. I mean, the brutality we are seeing on the ground being meted out to the public by the police is next level. And the police need to break ranks and join with these cops who are taking this legal action against the government, because that's the thing, you know, the good cops in the force need to stand up for this, because otherwise when this all turns pear-shaped and it becomes open confrontation, the good police are going to go down with the bad police. You know, no one's going to differentiate between good police and bad police. If they see someone with a uniform on, then they're going to see them as the enemy. Because that's the way it's going. When the police are creating this situation, they're setting themselves up as the enemy of the people by the brutality, absolute unmitigated brutality, and the levels of brutality that we're seeing against people is just ridiculous. Under the guise of protecting their health, under the guise of protecting society from a pandemic, you're beating the shit out of people, beating the shit out of women, pepper spraying children. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. So the good cops need to realise that, you know, they're going to go down with the bad cops if they don't break ranks and start calling this out. Because it's just getting to the next level, folks. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's been a really great response to that Facebook page of, you know, all businesses welcome, jabbed or unjabbed. It has now, I think, around about 140,000 members on that page. In 4 days, it's gone from zero to 140,000 members. That just shows how many people don't want to know about this jab, don't want to know about this mandatory vaccine, and do not want to discriminate against people. So there is some good news happening, folks. You know, it's not all bad. There is some good news as well. I believe Boris Johnson has announced that they're going to scrap the vaccine passport in the UK for cinemas, nightclubs and sporting events. Perhaps that's a start. Perhaps that will end up scrapping the vaccine passport for everywhere else. Or perhaps they're just leaving those out and they're going to include them later. I don't know, but there's a pushback, folks. There's a lot of pushback happening. It's hard really to know where they'll go with that, folks. I mean, whether they'll drop the vax passports altogether. Thing is, they don't really need the vax passports, folks. If you're scanning QR codes, that's all they need. There was a great article sent to me by a friend from Forbes, and well, the article's from Forbes. My friend's not from Forbes, but a friend of mine sent a great article to me from Forbes, which is called, "I Don't Scan QR Codes and Neither Should You."
And it shows just what they can do with this, folks. I mean, if you are actually scanning these QR codes, it's not just checking in. They can access all your stuff by you scanning these QR codes. So you really shouldn't be doing it. And I highly recommend you go and read this article from Forbes. Actually, and while we're at it, while we're on the topic of the UK, there is also an article saying that people in the UK should prepare for certain aspect food shortages of certain items from now on. So they're basically going to be removing your choice of many of the stuff that you used to get, be able to go and buy. You should get used to not having so much choice, and you should get used to not so many of those items being available for you. Welcome to communism and the introduction of the universal basic income, folks. I mean, soon, folks, if you don't take this matter in hand, you're all going to be living on insects and mealworms. Oh, of course, and drinking your own urine and eating your own shit. There's a lot of doctors being threatened here as well. There's been a letter that's gone out to doctors and nursing staff in Australia, basically instructing them that they cannot say anything negative about the vaccine to their patients. They cannot recommend for any health reasons or anything. They cannot do anything to undermine the vaccine program. If they do, they face investigation and possibly deregistration. So, you know, even if you've got a patient who you know should not have this vaccine because of underlying conditions, you're not allowed to tell them that. You've got to recommend that they have the vaccine.
To this year, ARPRA, which is the Australian health regulating body of GPs, actually sent a letter to all GPs. And in that letter, they were very, very explicit in their directions to GPs by saying that you are in no way able to interfere with the vaccination rollout of the federal government. And that even includes discussions on social media about potential options to vaccine. And if you are caught interfering with the national rollout of the vaccination program, we reserve the right to conduct an investigation into your behaviour, into your actions, and potentially have you deregistered as a GP. So here we are. We now have doctors who have trained themselves for many, many years to be able to give the best health advice to their patients with the patient's health in mind, now having resting over their head this heavy bureaucracy saying, if you interfere in any way with the rollout of this vaccination program, we're going to investigate you. That's essentially what they're saying. So here it is. I've actually heard from doctors who are terrified of actually following their gut and following their training to give a medical exemption to someone who they know needs it because of the bureaucracy that's resting over their own head. Now, no one can tell me that that is an appropriate level of bureaucracy, particularly when it refers to a person's health, because a doctor should be free from any form of leverage or any form of pressure to operate fully in their professional skilled area.
A lot of doctors aren't liking this, and a lot of nurses aren't liking this, and this sort of stuff just causes them to stand up and push back. And that's good. Hey, Jeepster, you come to say hello. She's a bit closer, folks. Hey, darling, can you see me? You can't hear or see me much, can you? She's so old, folks. She's such an old dog. Such an old dog. But yeah, they say Freedom Day, even terms like that. Freedom Day will happen in New South Wales on October 18th or September 18th. October 18th. But they're saying it will only be Freedom Day for those who are fully vaccinated, of course. But if you are fully vaccinated, you still have to social distance, and you still have to wear a mask, and you still have to abide by the 4 meter square rule thing. And you've still got to be careful that because you can still catch COVID and you can still spread COVID even though you're vaccinated. So basically, yeah, even when you listen to their dialogue, folks, and listen to what they say, you can soon clearly work out that you're in more danger if you've been vaccinated than what you are if you haven't been vaccinated. A lot of wind here today, folks. I hope it's not interfering with the sound too much. So you're actually worse off if you've been vaccinated than whether you haven't been vaccinated, which is crazy. And all this is to do with a document, folks. There's a document called the Australia's National Health Action Plan for Health Security 2009 to 2023. And that is what is being used to implement this, folks. This is a deal that is involving 196 countries, and that's what this pandemic is really all about. This is a plan that was actioned in 2016-2017 by the WHO, and it involves all state premiers in Australia being told that the public health department will be planning to vaccinate 95% of the Australian population, gather all of our DNA and hook us all up to a biometric digital ID pass system with all of that personal data to be handed over to the WHO. It was signed off in 2018 and is set for completion in, guess what, 2023, which of course is when they say the trials of the vaccine will be over. So that's what all this is about, folks. It's about the IHR and it's about this National Action Plan for Health Security. And it's not just Australia, folks. It's 196 countries have signed off to this. But of course, there's no such thing as a real conspiracy, is there, folks? They're all just theories, aren't they? I think that's pretty significant, folks. That's a pretty interesting document. And it just shows what's going on. It shows how long they've had it planned. I mean, that was signed off in 2018. The whole thing was organised in 2016-2017, and it was signed off in 2018, a full year before they declared this, or before we'd even heard of coronavirus or COVID-19 or any of this sort of shit. So, you know, it shows. It shows what they're doing, folks, and it shows how long they've had it planned. This camera's going a bit weird. Bit of a windy day, folks, very windy day. But yeah, it shows how long they've had this planned, you know, and you know, it's been an ongoing thing, folks. This isn't any mistake. There's been huge pushbacks in France as well. There's like clashes now in France between the masked and the unmasked. So setting up this whole discriminatory, segregated, divided society through their lockdown rules and their mask mandates and all this shit they're doing, it's unbelievable, folks. You know, we've gone through years trying to stamp out discrimination and, you know, all this sort of stuff that they talk about, Black Lives Matter, whatever, you know, trying to create equality with people. And then they bring on these mask mandates and all this bullshit and purposely create all this division.
I think people are getting quite agitated right out there now outside, Pete, and those anti-vaxxers out there, that 20-30%, are the ones out there are protesting on the streets and doing that sort of thing. I think you're going to find the rest of us coming at you lock, stock and barrel, and we're going to be putting the pressure on you fairly hard, because the rest of us that are trying to do the right thing by the country and our kids and get vaccinated and do the right thing, I think for you, we're going to start to get even more agitated and we're going to start to get more hardcore. And I think that's what you're going to see, massive division out there. Mm. And it'll be us on the front foot. That's what I think is going to happen. I think the tide is going to turn on those anti-vaxxers out there and you are really going to feel the heat.
Okay.
It's unreal, folks. It's unreal. And I'm sure we're going to see some new terror activity soon as well. I mean, you can't give the Taliban $85 billion worth of equipment and expect that there's not going to be some new terror activity. And you can't say this was a mistake either, folks. I mean, these guys just got up in the middle of lunch, basically, and left. didn't even close the doors, or just turned the lights off and walked out.
My job there was as a foreign military sales officer, so I was on the front lines of acquiring the equipment that the Americans provided and turned over to the Afghan army and the Afghan police. I'm going to read to you what is so painful for me and so many other Afghan veterans who served in that capacity and others who served as a part of the train, advise, and assist, equip effort in helping the Afghans. We now know that due to the negligence of this administration, the Taliban now has access to over $85 billion worth of American military equipment. That includes 75,000 vehicles, over 200 airplanes and helicopters, over 600,000 small arms and light weapons. The Taliban now has more Black Hawk helicopters than 85% of the countries in the world. But they don't just have weapons. They also have night vision goggles, body armor, medical supplies, and unbelievably, unfathomable to me and so many others, is that the Taliban now has biometric devices, which have the fingerprints, eye scans, and the biographical information of the Afghans who helped us over the last 20 years. And here's what we just learned again in the briefing that we just walked out of. Is this administration still has no plan to get this military equipment or these supplies back.
You know, I mean, $85 billion worth of weaponry. The Taliban are now better equipped than 85% of the armies in the world, folks. And that should say something to people. So the whole world's going crazy. And people are feeling it as well. People are really feeling it. I mean, people are feeling the walls closing. I get so many emails from people saying, you know, I'm feeling the walls closing in. I'm trying to maintain, but I'm just not handling it. And that's a lot of people, you know, just the frustration of not being able to cross the border, of not being able to see your kids and all the shit that happened here on Father's Day and all this stuff. I get emails from people saying, look, Max, I'm just not handling it. I've been in Victoria through this. We're in our sixth or seventh lockdown now. Nobody knows what's going on. We can't go more than 5 kilometres from our homes. We're just going nuts. People are ready to explode. Suicides are rising again. The calls to Lifeline, they're getting like around 300 to 400 calls a day from teenagers and stuff. Everybody's just freaking out. Like I showed you before, kids being banned from skate parks and stuff. If there's any people out there, any psychologists out there, who are listening to the show, who might tune in. Maybe you're even a, you know, fledgling psychologist. Maybe you're working in university and studying psychology or something. A lot of people need a lot of help at the moment. A friend of mine, Raina, who I interviewed sitting on this bench actually a couple of months ago from the Australian Patriots Alliance, has put out a call for any psychologists that have any free time that would like to contact her. She is getting a lot of emails from people saying, look, I just can't handle it. I'm imploding. I'm mentally imploding. And a lot of people are, folks. A lot of people are really suffering through this. And so, yeah, if there are any psychologists out there that can offer a little bit of support, it would be great to hear from some of you because people really need it. People really need it. Hey, Jeepster. Hey, darling. What's happening? It's good to see you out and about today. What are you doing, darling? What are you doing, eh? You don't really know, do you? She's a dear old thing, folks. She's such a dear old dog. She really is. But yeah, if there's any psychologist that could help. Because it's just getting crazy. It's just getting crazier and crazier. And I'm just, you know, waiting for that watershed moment. There are huge legal challenges happening, but again, I don't have a lot of faith in the judicial system. But, you know, with people who think it is real, well, you know, it's good to see the cops pushing back, and it's good to see all these people starting to stand up and realize that, you know, this is affecting them as well. It's interesting how the cops are only pushing for an end to forced vaccination for police, though, mandatory vaccination for police. Notably, Gladys Berejiklian, Gladys Berejiklian, she really should change her name to like gargoyle Berejiklkov. When you look at that profile pic that I had on the last video that I uploaded, she would really make a great gargoyle, wouldn't she? Gargoyle Berejiklkov of Afghanistan makes perfect sense. Actually, she's Armenian, though. She's an Armenian Jew, our New South Wales Premier. And I'll let you make of that what you will. But yeah, a lot of people are seeing it, folks. And like I said, I don't have any faith in the judicial system in this country at all. Australia is one of the most corrupt countries on earth. It's one of the most overgoverned, overregulated countries on earth. It really is, folks. You've got to get permission to take a shit in this country just about. It's unbelievable what this government's done. They've stolen the country from the people. They've ripped it off. They've stolen our water and sold it off to foreign interests and all sorts of shit these politicians have done. Put themselves above the law. Actually enacted legislation whereby they can't be arrested. And that should say something to people, the fact that they've put in legislation that prevents themselves from being arrested. So we need to change this. This is why we need to institute new government. We need to express a loss of confidence in these people and institute new governments. The only way we're going to get through any of this, folks. So I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize that, but it's what we need to do. We've got to get these people out of power. They're invalid. They're a corporate entity anyway. And we need new government. If we're going to have government at all, it doesn't want to be this one. Not that I believe in any government. But like I said before, it's a process. There's been a process that's brought us to this point, and it's got to be a process to take us back. It's going to take at least a generation to educate people back to a point of self-governance. Yeah, and the whole thing we're trying to do here as well is save the people, save the world, you know, save humanity. So turning it into a state of chaos where it's just dog eat dog and you know, you can't go directly into anarchy because people aren't ready. Turning it into a situation like that, millions of people would suffer and die. And that's not what it's about. We need to get, you know, government isn't so bad in this society we've constructed if we had some form of honest government, some sort of people of integrity that could organize us back to a position we should be in. I mean, the world shouldn't even be like this, folks. These societies don't serve us at all. It's you know, crazy. Oh, shush, I'm talking. These societies don't serve us at all. And we've had so much stolen from us and so much taken from us. You know, nobody even knows what our history is. So, yeah, but we're at a turning point, folks. The world's just going crazy. And we always knew it was going to. We always knew it sort of had to implode before it would turn into something decent. I don't think anyone quite expected it to be like this, though. But
I want to thank you all for joining me today. It is a BitChute video, Never Give an Inch to a Despot, of Max Ingham, which is Crow House, the Crow House. And he's got all kinds of great links under this thing that you might want to use to get some information if you plan on doing standing up for your life. Thank you very much, y'all, again. Please have a great day. Later.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically